broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And more importantly, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And so we have to do it. We have to do the heavy lifting. We have to lead the way. And we do that each and every night here on the world famous Phil Hendry show with all kinds of things, satire, commentary, which is sort of satirical commentary and so forth, plus our website, philhendryshow.com, plus our live streaming video of the show that you can watch at philhendryshow.com each and every night if you have a backstage pass, as well as all of the thousands of hours of archives and so on and so forth. Now, and we also are selling our Ted's Beverly Hills hoodie. Am I getting the...
Boy, man, why don't you let people take a breath, man, before you go into commercial?
Sorry. I didn't mean to inundate you guys with a bunch of, hoo-ha and pitching, but let's face it, you know, times are tough, man, so everybody's got to, you know, man got to do what a man got to do. Hell, I'm just trying to make a living over here, you know.
I can dig that, man, but, you know, don't be, like, burying people in it.
No, I know. I'll let your heads up out of the sales pitch trough here. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. And we do have a number of things we're going to be talking about, much of it related to the Sandusky allegations. Other commentary will follow on other topics. But really, our two primary guests this evening, and there probably will be more, we are going to be talking in a moment to Herb Sewell. And Mr. Sewell was an incarcerated a prisoner at a forensic hospital. He had been remanded there. I believe it was in 1994, remanded there for child molestation. He was convicted, did 8 years there, underwent intensive therapy, and is now at a halfway house and has been an actual news contributor on this program. And you're going to meet him if you haven't met him. And I think that you will hear his story and at least be comfortable with him to this extent, that at least he can comment on some of these stories. I don't know. But we've had Herb on the show before, and he's provided some insight, although it's shocking for people. It truly is to have him, to have anybody like that on the radio show. Later on, we will have Charlie LaFountain on our program, and he's going to be discussing, we're going to be discussing the how to protect your kids. And Charlie is a grandfather. He is a member of a residence association where the kids are really closely monitored by the grandparents and the parents, and he'll give us some tips on how they're protecting their kids. And then we'll do our news and commentary hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're going to bring on Herb Sewell right now so we can talk with him about the latest. Now, first of all, before we talk about anything, Herb, and how are you doing?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
Before we talk with you about anything, let me just update people on the latest. And the latest is that there have been, first of all, one of the mothers of one of these victims has spoken publicly. I heard her on the Anderson Cooper show this evening. I'm sure she's spoken to perhaps other news media outlets. Among the very shocking things that she said, this is almost unbelievable. And it almost, it kind of pissed me off, to be honest with you. She said that when she heard from her son that Jerry was doing some stuff that was not quite cool, she went to the school. And the principal called her up one day after hearing this in tears and asked her to come to the school. The principal's in tears and says to her, "Now, you know, I have to talk to you about Jerry, but understand, he's a very nice man. And please understand the ramifications of what you are contemplating," which was going to the police.
I understand.
And so this woman, what she did do is she took her son and she went down to the Pennsylvania version of whatever they call it, Child Protective Services, which immediately contacts the police. Well, what I found to be really disturbing about all of that was the school's reaction and this principal saying, "Hey, now, Jerry's a really nice guy." I mean, I was floored, man. I mean, I got to tell you, I was, like, floored. I couldn't believe a school. I can understand some stupid people. I understand there's all kinds of, the world's crawling with dumbasses. But for a school with educators saying, "Well, you know, Jerry's a nice guy, and understand the ramifications of what you're about to do," and are you kidding me or what? Now, Herb, you were arrested for this crime. You did 8 years. Tell us what happened to you.
In terms of my incarceration?
Yeah.
Well, I was incarcerated. I was underwent electroshock, insulin shock. I was very heavily medicated at one point. And, of course, I'm dealing with other issues in my life having to do with issues having to do with the way that I was raised and my mother.
Were you molested?
I'm not willing to discuss that right now, to be honest with you. I would simply say...
I'm sorry, but they say most molesters were molested.
I'm not willing to discuss that right now, mostly because I don't really want it to appear as if I'm pushing the blame off onto somebody else. My primary interest in all of this, Phil, is how this is going to affect the rest of society as we move forward in dealing with predators, which, yes, you're right, I was one, and in protecting children, and also the lives of former molesters, former offenders, if you will. I prefer to call them offenders because I think that really, at the end of the day, that's what they were. Keep calling them molesters. I think that you are saying that the status, the extant state of these people is that they are molesters. Certainly not. I'm not a molester. And
you have not reoffended.
No, I have not. Most certainly have not. And I would say to you that I'm in a situation right now observing parole and at a halfway house and doing work by way of telecommuting, whereby I keep myself under court order in the strictest of circumstances. Now, it is not to say that I don't try to have a life. And to that end, the South Bay Resident Co-op, which was something I joined, all adults, and is a health organization.
Now, what is this, a social organization?
It is a social organization of adults who are interested in what I guess has been traditionally called sun worship. And this is something that I have to take into consideration. I have to ask, all right, what are the parameters here? Because every other weekend we are meeting at one or two of the beaches in the Southern California area, and we sun worship. What are the parameters?
When you say sun worship, what do you mean? Do you mean you're nude?
That is correct. We are sun worshippers. You used to call it naturalist. I don't like to use the term nudity because I think it bespeaks of sexuality. It's no sex. This is about sun worship. This is about, observing the naturalist lifestyle. Now, what do I need to know? What? Lay it out for me, because I don't want anyone thinking that Herb Sewell is out there trying to molest their children. That just isn't the case. But on weekends, certain weekends out of the month, I'd say on average one weekend a month, maybe two, I am with South Bay RC, and I don't have any clothes on. We are sun worshiping, and we're doing a variety of other things. We're swimming. We're playing volleyball. We're doing all of the games of over the line, but we are without any. We don't have clothes on. Now, the reason why I say this is that I want to know how does this work with children, so that we don't do anything whatsoever that will run afoul of children.
Well, I first of all, let me ask you this: do you think that that's a good organization for you to be in?
Absolutely, because there's no children allowed. They're all adults. I'm not around children.
Some of these organizations, these naturalist organizations, they have families.
No, not this one. This is all adults. No children allowed.
Okay.
And so, but my question it still stands.
Well, again, so you think it's a healthy organization. I know there's no children around. You're nude on a beach someplace.
That is correct. But it's not just that we're nude on a beach someplace, Phil. We are there as part of a regimen of health and as part of a regimen of activity and exercise without clothing, because the idea of clothing at all times is really quite destructive and really quite meaningless. Not that we don't wear clothes to go to work, but you see what I'm saying. But I'm looking for personally, and I think the South Bay Resident Co-op is looking for this, because I brought this up to them. I said, I will be very honest with you. I, at one time, was incarcerated for child molestation. So I don't want to obviously reoffend. What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? So that I don't have someone saying, isn't that Herb Sewell? And he's standing on the beach with no clothes on, playing volleyball, and looking very cavalier. That's not the case at all.
Well, I can tell you that would be a... That, you know, I don't blame you for fearing that, because, you know, if I didn't know you, but I knew what you had done, and there you are, you're playing volleyball, and you're... And...
Yes, and it is insightful. I understand it's insightful for some people. If you're looking at naturalists, or you're looking at sun worshippers, and there's the obvious fact that on men especially, but also women, when you're jumping about and you're having a very heavy exercise period, you're doing some kind of exercise, you obviously the certain parts of your body are going this way and that. They're swinging around and so on and so forth. And I'm not going to get very graphic on that. I think you understand what I'm saying. And some people find that very insightful. And
well, insightful in that it makes people angry.
Yeah, it would make people angry, and I understand that. And so that already, we've already got one foot in it, if you will, as we're playing volleyball and we're playing over the line in all of these different games. And this is going on with the different, you know, aspects of our bodies. And then you have a man or a woman saying, look at those people, and they're obviously exposing themselves. And it makes me angry that the breasts on those women are swinging up and down and the men. And by the way, I've got my children with me. And isn't that Herb Sewell? You see what I'm saying?
Well, do you fear that you're going to be recognized?
Not so much that, but I want to be very clear as to what are the parameters here.
All right, well, how about this? Instead of, why don't I just say this? And I'm sure we can take phone calls when we go to our break, which we're going to do right now. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is our number. Herb Sewell is with us. He's a man convicted of child molestation, was in prison, is out now, is at a halfway house, is under strict parole supervision and whatever that is, Herb, and one of these days you can explain that to us.
Well, it's simply, you're certainly you're having to report to a parole officer.
I understand, but you also join some kind of a nudist organization, and you're fearful that someone's going to think you're running afoul of children that way.
That is exactly correct.
Well, let me just say this. Why not have these meetings of nudists where you are on the beach, you have no clothes, whatever, as far away from children as you can?
Because, well, first of all, it's not practical. We have to have these events close to the city and close to the metropolitan areas and the associated environs where people live. You know, you can't very well have this out on a secluded island somewhere.
Well, I don't mean a secluded island, but I mean you certainly don't want to run afoul of children, as you say, so... You wouldn't want to have it in any area where there are kids.
But it changes from one week to the next. I am the only one in this organization, as far as I know, that has this problem. I have been incarcerated for molesting children. Everybody else is, obviously, is never does not have this on a record. So they're moving these meetings all over the place. And there may be a meeting or an event where we are... without any clothes on.
Well, I don't know. First of all, legally, how you can do that in California. I mean, nudity, public nudity.
Well, but yes, but in Florida and there are other places where we move our meetings around.
All right. Herb Sewell on the line with Florida. Does he fly to Florida?
No.
Herb Sewell on the line with us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. He's a former. He was incarcerated for child molestation. Now he belongs to a naturalist sun worshiper organization and is afraid that he's going to be perceived as, you know, trying to pick up kids, and he wants to know what the rules are when it comes to that, so that there's no impropriety. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Herb Sewell. Later on tonight, we have Chris Norton and Charlie LaFontaine joining us. We'll be
truth
back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL as Herb Sewell joins us from the Los Angeles area. Mr. Sewell was incarcerated at Atascadero Forensic Hospital in Northern California for a period of time as a result of convictions for child molestation. And you were in a pretty serious environment up there, weren't you?
I would say that, yes, I would say it's very serious.
Some pretty, pretty rough people.
Well, I understand that this is a forensic hospital, which means that these people who are considered having these sorts of issues that are emotional or mental, if you will, and so they're not hardened criminals insofar as the cell block in a federal or state prison, but nonetheless, I was there with Randall Toomey, I was there with Walter Belhaven, Patrick William Morris. These were all notorious serial killers. In one instance, Randall Toomey, who was catatonic and was a man, the last physical act that he did on the outside was to murder his entire family. Walter Belhaven, a serial murderer from the time he was 12. So yes, this is a very, very serious group of people. My crimes pale, I would say, without trying to be too cavalier, but my crimes, they would pale in comparison to Walter Belhaven. Now,
all right, but the point being, you were there, and these are serious people, and your crimes are serious against children.
Absolutely, Phil. Yes, I'm not trying to minimize them. I'm just saying that.
No, I understand what you're saying. And you did your time, and you are out, and you are not supposed to be around kids, but now you're in this nudist group. And
yes, but there are no children in the nudist group. These are adults. And
I understand that. You want to know what the parameters are for what, a nudist group?
I'd like to know what the parameters are for a nudist group, and what are the parameters for nudist groups that have individuals such as myself that are former offenders. And we're trying to work on language, Phil, so that when we do leave prison or we do leave a forensic hospital, the language is, I'm not a former molester, I'm not a former offender. I was a guest of the state of California in terms, and I had aberrant social habits that needed to be corrected. And
I think that that's asinine. Asinine.
Why is that?
Because you were molesting children. Aberrant social habits that needed to be corrected. Sounds like you're taking an Emily Post class. Let's go to a phone call here. Yes, sir, you're on the air on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Is the gentleman there online? The gentleman calling in, I forget what his name was. You there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. You're on the air. I forget what is your first name?
William,
go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, I'm just sitting here and I'm listening and whatnot. And, I mean, for a person to be a sex friend and to want to be in a nudist group, I mean, you have the right to be able to want to, after you do your time, to go out and do what it is that you want to do. But, I mean, it's just certain things out there that you should stay away from. Like, a beach is a public place, you know what I mean? And
of course.
You really can't. You know, predict whether or not a child is going to be around. Like, you're setting yourself up to fail. You know what I mean? You're already going to be aroused, jumping around and exercising butt naked, you know what I'm saying, with whoever's out there.
Well,
and then,
I'm not looking for children. I understand that, but I'm not looking for children. I'm looking to exercise and be a part of this group of adults that are playing volleyball, and we're enjoying ourselves, picnicking, lunching. But I don't even want the hint of impropriety. And if I'm out there and I've got no underwear on,
but that's
and
my
a kid
point.
Wanders.
But that's my point. If you, it's not about what you want. It's about what other people perceive of what it is that you want. And being that your status is what it is, if I walk by with my kid and I do know who you are, you know what I mean? All you have to do is make a funny look that way. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to assume that you're giving him the eye. And the fact that you're butt
that's a good
makes it even worse.
That's a good point, Herb. What about people that may recognize you?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. If someone does recognize me, such as this gentleman, William, I would be able to, if I've got some parameters, to say to him, William, before you say anything, you know, discuss it. Now, if he does recognize me, and I'm standing there, and I'm in what we call a half regalia. Half regalia means that basically when you're sun worshiping, if it's a cold day, you wear a shirt. Well, wearing a shirt, if you've got a T-shirt, but you're naked from the waist down, I'm basically standing there with my genitals hanging down. And I would hope he's not going to walk by. Yes, sir?
Like, I mean, what beach are you actually able to do something like that?
Well, it changes from week to week. Many of them, sometimes it's Cove down in Laguna Beach, sometimes it's, but they do change from week to week.
Why? Are you trying to stay ahead of the police? I mean, this is...
It is legal in some... Mr. Henry, that was very uncalled for. No, we're not trying to stay ahead of the police. It is legal in some areas of Southern California if you are so many hundreds of yards away from a roadway or that kind of thing.
All right, listen, William, thank you for your call, sir. We got to take a break. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Herb Sewell, a former child molester, now out of prison and has joined some kind of a nudist colony and wants to know what the parameters are.
Phil,
we'll be back.
Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're talking here with Herb Sewell, and all of this was really a part of the Jerry Sandusky Penn State scandal that is now rearing its ugly head, and the more we hear about it, the less we like it. Not that we liked it at all. Not that we liked anything having to do with it, but as these facts come out, Herb, they're just more odious and more odious.
Well, I totally agree with you. They are very odious. Yeah.
And as someone such as yourself who's been in prison for this, you know what people's view is. It's extremely, it is extremely raw. Sometimes it can be violent. Sometimes it's harsh.
Phil, believe me, I know exactly what you're saying, and I know the sensitivities. And I was... I became aware of those as I went through my treatment, you know. And when I got out of Atascadero, after 8 years of being treated for this horrible, horrible compulsion, which is to harm children in this way, you begin to reflect and you begin to see the horror of the crimes that you committed and the horror that you visited on people. And you believe me, a rational mind never wants to be involved with anything like that again. And that is who you're talking to right now, Herb Sewell. I'm not claiming that I was rational then. I'm not claiming that I was rational at any time during my hospitalization. But I'm telling you that today, I have a rationality and I have an appreciation for the dangers and for the harm that I did do. And I'm very grateful for this chance.
All right, so having said all of that, why have you joined a nudist, I don't know what you call it.
Well, first of all, it's not nudist. It's naturalistic sun worship. It's not a colony. It's a club. And I joined it because I have an interest in health and sport, and certainly wanted to meet people who have a similar interest. The regalia that I'm talking about is called half regalia. What we wear are sweatshirts or sweaters that come just below the navel. And then everything on down, you are disrobed. You're naked. We only wear those in cold weather. But I was concerned because if we're playing volleyball and people see us wearing these sweaters and are, if you'll forgive me for saying, the men at least, their genitals are swinging everywhere, people are going to think that we're trying to make people angry, that we're trying to show off. I don't know what they would think. So that's why I wanted to know the parameters.
Well, what do you mean the parameters? What are you talking about the parameters?
What are the parameters for me being in a nude club?
Well, have you asked your parole officer? Have you asked the...
I can ask. There's a lot of people I can ask, but it's better for me to get the lay of the land and the feel, because the parole officer is going to tell me, no, 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 no. Whereas people might be more... I can well imagine, for instance. I heard what you said.
Look, you know, you're dancing around us, Herb. I already told you that people have a very unforgiving nature.
People have an unforgiving nature, but when they know that I'm not interested any longer in their kids, then I can get some input as to how to proceed. Because right now, if I'm, for instance, at a beach activity, at a beach function with the South Bay Resident Co-op...
And this is this nudist organization?
This is the Naturalist Sun Worship, yeah.
Okay.
And I am nude, and I'm standing talking to someone. And I'm laughing, and I'm enjoying myself, and suddenly a kid walks by with his parents, and they recognize me. Am I protected? You know, in other words, what do I do? Do I start? I can tell you this. My instinct is to start running.
And your instinct is to start right. Well, maybe that's a good instinct, because if you...
Well, that's patently illegal. I'm not going to be harassed that way.
Well, look at Herb. If you are standing there laughing, and why are you? Why did you bring up laughing?
Because some people may find that provocative, that I'm laughing and uproariously, and someone walks by and recognizes my picture from the newspaper.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. You know.
You don't know. And yet you are judging me. This is what I'm talking about, Phil. The judgment. The constant judgment. You're judging me, and yet you don't know. Should I run?
Should you run? I got to just go back to what people were saying. I would not be in that situation. I would not put myself in that situation, like that one gentleman said, of being a nudist, a former child molester, and now you're standing on a beach laughing and playing volleyball, and a guy walks by and recognizes your face from the newspaper.
Yes.
And that, well, okay, so he's going to confront you, perhaps. And you want to know, what do? Run at that point? Yeah, I think I would.
Well, all right, thank you, because you just stepped into the trap. That's illegal. He's not allowed to do that. So I said what I said, Phil, to see if you'd take the bait, and you did. And
what do you mean, take the bait? I mean, what else could I say?
You could say something that would be legal. Legal. Do I have the legal right to be in the half regalia playing volleyball and laughing? Yes, I do. Do I have the legal right to have no clothes on? Yes, I do. Do I have the legal right even to have, as you say, you know, the genitalia swinging? Yes, I do. And
well, no, you said that. Let me get a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me go over to Dean. Hey, Dean, you're on a Phil Henry Show with Herb Sewell. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a father. I'm the father of a young son, and I'm the father of two daughters. And I'm listening as patiently as I can to the man that you have on your program, and I'm really trying very hard to understand. I consider myself to be a pretty liberal and progressive person. In fact, I've donated much of my time to progressive and liberal causes. And so one would think that I'd perhaps have a better understanding of a man like this.
I would help you, would, sir.
Well, now, what I want you to do is just not say anything, please, until I'm finished. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm a progressive person, and I think that I'm a liberal person.
That's the same thing.
Mr. Henry, would you tell him to not say that?
Please, Herb, don't.
I said liberal and progressive.
Would you please tell him to not do that?
Herb, just let the man finish.
Okay, well, is he the program director of the RIV?
Would you please ask the man, because I'm trying to be patient. I want to see things on your side of things, but the more you talk, the tenser I get. And I'm into holistic health. I'm into health, too, Mr. Sewell. And
well, I think holistic healing is wonderful.
Would you please?
Herb, just let the man finish.
The sound of my voice, does that bother you?
Yes, it does. Yes. I'm going to say something that I don't think I ever would have said, because I've marched for women's rights. I marched against the war in Iraq. I've been at Occupy San Francisco for 14 days straight, to the point where I have not had a bath or anything decent to eat. My breath. And the reason why I bring that up is I kissed my wife today, and she, my own wife, looked at me and waved her hand like my breath. She used an old line. She said, your mouth smells like the you-know-what army slept in it.
The Japanese army.
Yes, and I didn't want to say that because it was very, very politically incorrect.
But it seems to me that you're trying not to be politically...
Would you please shut your mouth?
All right, now hold on for just a minute.
I don't want to listen to this guy, Phil.
All right, hold on for just a minute. Let this man finish, but I have to tell you, Dean, get out what it is you want to get out, and then let Herb talk, because you're spending more time correcting him.
I understand, but when he talks and interrupts me,
this is a free country.
Shut up!
Herb and Dean, I'm going to hang up on you if you yell again. Herb, just be quiet.
I spent 2 weeks at Occupy San Francisco. When I got home to my own wife, she waved her hand in front of her face when I tried to kiss her and said my mouth smelled Like, that's correct. The Japanese, and she didn't even use the word Japanese, she used a shortened version of that. So in recent days, our home, which has always been a refuge for progressive thought, for people in our neighborhood, for people in our town, for people in our area of the Bay Area here, it's been a refuge for progressive thinkers. And in recent days, we're under a great deal of stress. When my own wife says that I got a mouth that smells like the you-know-what army slept in it overnight. You're laughing. And I am not laughing. I'm emotional.
I heard you laugh.
And I am not laughing. You want to see me laugh? I'll come to where you are, and I'll sever your...
He's disconnected.
Of course he's disconnected. He disconnected when he was born. You know, when he was born, he disconnected.
Okay, Herb, but as I said, when the man was getting jacked up and getting wound up, you should have just kept your mouth shut. 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman is joining us now. Harvey, I know that you've had experience, obviously, in the criminal area of law, and we have. And I know you know Herb. Give me your take on whether or not Mr. Sewell's activities at a nudist colony make sense.
Well, first of all, I know Herb Sewell. How are you, Herb?
Very good, Harvey.
First of all, this man has every right in the world to... he's got every right in the world to go wherever he wants and do... There's a song that came out a number of years ago, Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do. You know the song they did?
I think that was a song by the Fifth Dimension.
What was that?
A song by the Fifth Dimension?
Yeah, Fifth Dimension.
What do you mean, Fifth Dimension? What are you talking about?
That, the name of the group.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry. All right, so this was a song. And it said, you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. That's what, I don't want to say that ought to be the theme song of child molesters, but the way we're living these days. And
well, what do you think he should do in terms of this nudist?
I heard the man say five times it's not a nudist, it's a natural. What did you say, Herb?
Yes, thank you, Hobby. It's a naturalist of sun worship, over the thing.
Yeah, naturalist sun worship. As a criminal defense attorney, hold on for a minute. Get Grandpa a big glass of water, that new water that your mother brought. We just got back from dinner, Phil, and I had a delicious. They had a cheese item that I got, but it creates phlegm. So this guy should be singing the. You got to go where you want to go and do how you do it. You know,
I understand about the song Go Where You Want to Go. I understand that. I doubt seriously whether that's a very good theme song for child molesters, you know?
Why not?
Go Where You Want to Go?
Bill, I'm sure you understand if we've served our time, if we did the time because we did the crime. You've heard that before.
Yeah, but you know something, man? There's such a thing as a supervised probation, etc., and that's what Herb is currently observing. So what should he do in terms of a nudist, or if you don't want to call it that, this sun worship organization?
Well, I've heard the best thing for you to do. The best thing for you to do is if you are, you're out on the sand and you're enjoying your afternoon. I can certainly understand that. You people don't wear pants or something, is that how you do?
Well, we wear pants, but we don't wear, on cold days, we will wear a top. And so it comes down to the name.
Yeah, but for all intents and purposes, you're naked.
That is correct, yes.
All right, well, then what I would suggest you do is if you see a man walking down the promenade or the walkway or with a kid, that you very, very slowly approach and say, my name is Herb Sewell. I was incarcerated for child molestation, but, and this is very important, Herb. This is very important. I was incarcerated for child molestation, but I've been through intensive therapy, and I'm here with adults. You have nothing to fear, and maybe even because what you don't want to do is make them afraid. So, you see, yes, I'm naked from the waist down, and you can see. And
you must be out of your mind, man. That would never fly.
May I finish? Oh, boy. Can I finish what I'm saying? Well, you're butting in.
I don't care if I'm butting in. Are you crazy? Hi, I'm Herb Sewell. I was incarcerated for child molestation. And let me just say to you...
Do you mind if I finish with...
Hold on. What a whack job, man. Every time I have that cat on the show...
What's wrong with his throat, man? He's always gagging.
Always gagging? How can a guy get a point out when he's gagging up phlegm... And he's not even giving you anything realistic. Hi, I'm Herb Sewell. I was arrested for child molestation. But as you can see now, yes, I am nude from the waist down. But I'm here with all these adults. Okay, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Herb Sewell. We've had Harvey Weirman on the line with us, talking to us about... what he thinks the criminal ramifications are of Mr. Sewell, a former child molester, being a member of a naturalist or nature-worshipping organization, and exactly what that can mean to him by way of the law and his ability to remain within the law. We'll get Herb back on the line here, and Harvey is with us from... San Marino, I'm sorry to have to hang up on you, Harvey, but I didn't hang up. I didn't put you on hold so radically. We had to go to a break, you know.
Well, you know, and you also were saying to me that, I forget what you said, but you said that that he had no right to be at the beach, and I beg to differ. As a criminal defense attorney, I happen to know what a person's constitutional right, you know, a constitutional constitutional rights are, and the let me jump in here, Harvey, because I know that you're struggling this evening with the phlegm issue, but thank you very much, by the way, for coming to my defense, as it were. I do believe that that we all have to understand that even those of us that have been in prison have every right in the world to do whatever it is we feel like doing within the law. And And so the
idea, Harvey, that he's nude on a beach.
Oh, well, the idea that he's nude on a beach, he's not going up to a kid and saying, "Hi, I'm nude." And,
but you're telling this guy that if he happens to see somebody that recognizes him, he should walk up to the man and his kid and say, "Yes, it's true. I was incarcerated for child molestation. Hi, little boy. But I'm okay now." Meanwhile, he has no pants on.
You know, you make everything sound like a twisted joke, Henry. This is the thing that I... You make everything sound as if it's a gag.
Well, what do you call that? That sounds like a joke to me.
I can assure you, Phil, it's not a joke. It's not a joke when the father is standing there and he wants to run you through with whatever is handy. It's not a joke when they want to come to your house and burn it to the ground with you in it. It's not a joke, I can assure you, when they want to tie you to a tree and set fire to the tree. I've seen it all happen, and I've seen it happen millions of times. You tell him, Herb, because as a criminal defense attorney,
when are you going to retire, man? That's what I'd like to know.
What did you just say to me? Boy, I can't believe you said that.
I said, when are you going to retire?
When am I going to retire? Boy, you got a pair on you.
I don't know how it is you argue a case when you're standing in front of a judge and a jury... And you're saying, "In your honor, whatever it is you're doing there."
You know something? You got a big pair. Herb shouldn't be afraid of joining a nude colony, or a, what do you call it, Herb? A nude colonization? No, it's not a nude colonization.
You call it sun worshiping.
I'll do it, thank you. It's called sun worshiping.
Sun worshiping.
I'll do it. All right, well, you know, you got such a big pair on you, Henry, that Herb shouldn't worry about being in the nude when a kid walks up. You ought to, because you could sit on yours. I think you would have a pleasant tomorrow.
What a foul-mouthed bastard he is. 877-876-PHIL. Let's get Margaret Gray on the line here as we're talking with Herb Sewell about this idea that he wants to be, you know, in a nudist club or something. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I wanted to, I don't know what it is you're talking about, but I heard Harvey mention a song, Go Where You Want to Go. Now, I know that I don't want to interfere with the, or intrude on the topic, but I heard the mentioning of Go Where You Want to Go. Is that what I heard?
Yes, Mr. This is Herb Sewell. Mr. Wyman mentioned the song, Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do.
No, it's not called Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do. That's number one. It's called Go Where You Want to Go. The song was recorded by both the Papas and the Mamas and the Fifth Dimension, Phil, and that's what you were struggling with. You know they were a group, right?
Yes, I know they were. It's called the Mamas and Papas. And
I said the Fifth Dimension.
Fifth Dimension.
I know that, but she also said the Mamas and the Papas and the Mamas.
They're called the Mamas and Boy.
You really don't know your music, do you, Phil?
She said it. I didn't say it.
Well, the song goes like this, okay?
Jesus.
Who said that?
I did. I'm sorry, but I was put on Mr. Henry's show.
Hold on for a minute. One, two, three. You gotta go with go where you... Oh, forget it. I can hear the bumper music. You know, you really know how to pee all over a guy's picnic. So, I really hope that you come down with a very, very raging, virulent, sexually transmitted disease.
Phil Henry.
Now go out and make it a great day.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Whether or not I have time to deal with this, I don't know. Bud, he wants me to talk to him right now, is that right?
Yeah, it's Mr. Hall and Miss Ray.
Yeah, David, are you going to bat for Margaret again here?
What is that supposed to mean?
It means every time I hear from you after I've had her on the air, after she's told me to go to hell, after she's told me that she hopes I die in a gasoline fire, after she's told me that she hopes that this most recent one, that I get a virulent sexual disease, and then now go out and make it a great day, I know I'm going to hear from you.
Look, Phil, the lady was trying to sing a song, okay? And you were mocking and laughing and hurrying her along. All I'm saying is I promised her that you could sing the song. You know her husband's wired in. She's got a very heavy husband. Frank Gray is a major producer in this town. I can't afford to piss a guy like that off. She knows what she's talking about.
That was Frank.
Oh, really? Oh, gee, I didn't know that was Frank. The only guy I know that confuses genders, you know?
Don't make fun of a man who's got a crippling ailment, Phil. I'm surprised at you.
Oh, come on. It's the goofiest thing in the world.
What are you talking about my husband? My husband has provided a wonderful life.
Margaret, I'm not talking about it any other than I just said. You know, the cat's got a goofy illness. Are you telling me that he doesn't?
Are you telling me he doesn't? That man, Phil, I don't know whether you fell on your head as a child, but sometimes when you get excited, this is what you sound like. That's what you sound like, okay? And
well, you know, Margaret, you're mocking me, and I can't make fun of your singing.
I was a professional singer at one time. I was on Broadway at one time. At one time, I will have you know, Richard Harris stood in the wings and watched me perform with tears in his eyes. And if you make a joke about how he was crying because my singing was so bad, I'll get in my car and I'll come there. I'll go to where you work, and we'll see whether or not a woman is able to hold her own against a man. Would you like to see that? I'm talking to you. Would you like to see that?
No, I was amazed at how all of a sudden the restaurant went away for a few seconds.
I told everyone to shut up because I'm on... Here. Shut up. Shut up. There, you like that? Start talking. When I'm on the phone, Phil...
Margaret, you can sing the song. I just had to get to a break, okay?
Now that's better, okay? Talk nice, will you? We're crying out loud, Phil. We're just trying to get this... Trying to get to a place where we... Get these guests. We appreciate what they can do for us, and we're not pissing people off.
Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome. I'm actually at Temple City Pool.
Yeah, I can hear the pool tables. Are you playing pool?
No, I'm playing tennis. Wow.
Bill, you're kidding, right?
Never mind.
Wow. Are you playing pool? Did you get that one? Hey, Frank.
I heard what she said. I didn't believe it.
I'm sorry, Phil. But sometimes we all have our comeuppance, and sometimes we just have to sit down, and we've just got to suck on it. And tonight's your night to suck on it.
Okay. All right. Fine. I'll suck on it. What can I do for you?
Well, I don't like you saying that so soon after I said suck on it.
What can we do for you, Margaret?
I want to finish singing that song. But, Frank, you said what?
I heard Harvey saying that we're talking to this guy about child molestation. I thought heaven and hell.
Heaven and hell is that's my choice, too. The reason why I want to sing heaven and hell, Phil, is because, are you kidding me? That's exactly what we're talking about, heaven and hell. And the words, I think, of Ronnie James Dio are going to stay with us for many, many years. Sing me a song, you're the singer. Do me a wrong, you do the do. I forget how it goes.
You're the doer of evil.
You're the doer of evil. And so with that in mind, Phil, I'd like to do this song, and I'd like to do it in a respectful way so that we could all understand just exactly what this Sandusky thing is about. Bud Dickman, thank you. Very tight, Bud. I like that.
You're welcome.
By the way, everyone, Black Sabbath is returning. They have a tour for 2012, I believe. So, not that I...
Yeah, I can't go to that. I would vomit if I heard things out loud.
Just shut up. Well, I don't know the rest of the song, but here it is. 1, 2, 3. So it's
shut her up.
Boy.
All she wants to do is get on and sing. She doesn't care whether it has anything to do with anything, whether it has anything to do with what we're talking about. She just wants to sing. I thought she was going to sing Go Where You Want to Go.
Yeah, she said it was going to sing go where you gotta go.
But go where you want to go. No, that's the name of the song.
Yeah, that I'm sorry. But then she said she wanted to do that. She wanted to do Johnny James Dio.
Not Johnny James Dio. It's Gates name. Ronnie James Jacko.
Are you two guys mentally retarded, like permanently, or is there hope? Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, that's what I'm sorry.
And what did she want to sing that for?
Just like you said, she likes metal.
She likes metal. My ass, she likes metal. She just wanted to get on here and sing, that's it. Maybe they're not having a garden party over there tonight. Maybe her bridge night is another night. Maybe they're just sitting around the pool and Frank can't find ice. And so they went out there to the refrigerator at the bar. I don't know what. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Charlie the Fountain is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes to talk about his method and the method of his organization that is comprised of seniors, grandparents and parents, of making sure their kids are safe. It's called Operation One Step, and they feel it's been very, very successful in making sure that the kids where they live, which is out in the Inland Empire here in Southern California, the kids are safe from predators. It's certainly a big story. This Sandusky story, which I was watching today in some of the other new facets of this story that have come out, and a couple of them, one of them, the fact that this mother has spoken out, the mother of victim one, she's made some very specific charges. She said that she was in touch with the school. The school had been in touch with her. They were aware of this guy Sandusky, that this man Sandusky was taking her kid out of class. Can you imagine this? He was taking the kid out of class. And when the mother said, "What are you talking about? He's taking him," like, "Oh, well, he does it on occasion, Coach Sandusky." Can you imagine your child being taken out of class by someone other than yourself without your consent or knowledge? And you find out about this whenever. I mean, it would scare the hell out of me. I don't give a damn who the guy is. So there was that. Then the reaction of this principal, when the woman said she was going to go to the police, the principal started a bawl and was saying, please, you don't understand the ramifications of what you're talking about. I've never heard of anything like this before in my life. It's a story that is getting more ghoulish by the second. Coming on the line now with us is Charlie DeFountain. Charlie's been a contributor to our program. Charlie's retired and has been involved in business in the Inland Empire of California for a long time, but is now retired and is part of this one-step group. Charlie, how are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program. I enjoy your show, and I have to tell you, I don't envy you some of the people that you talk to.
Well, it is part of the job. Charlie, you have a granddaughter, right?
I do.
How old is she?
She's 12. Liz is 12, and we have a grandson, but he's very, very young. Because my daughter got married again. She was divorced and married again, and they now have an infant son.
All right, so now you have this granddaughter that you have been very active, along with your daughter and her husband and others in the organization, this one step. You want to protect the kids from predators, is that right?
Well, we do, and what we wanted to do, and I think we've succeeded at doing, is a very practical way of applying some sort of protection for our grandkids or our children when we are not around, Phil. This is when our children and our grandchildren are at risk, when we are not there to protect them, when we are not there to observe what's happening. You just mentioned this coach, this Sandusky, taking this kid out of class without the knowledge of the mother, and I couldn't agree with you more, Phil. To me, that would be a shocking and very sickening revelation to know that there were times when my own child was being removed from class by an individual that I now suspected of having assaulted that child. So I can't think of anything more, I think you've used the word ghoulish. I think that's a very good word.
Tell me about One Step. You say it's easy, it's practical. You've had success?
We have had success with One Step, and we call it One Step because it is just one step. Understand that a predator who is going to literally take a child off of a street, somewhere, anywhere, a predator is going to put this child most likely in a car, and that individual is going to be alone with this child for the first few minutes, and unless the police can get to these people and rescue this child for longer than that, and I don't even want to get into, but there is something that can be done. In those first few minutes, you make the child not a very practical target for the predator. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is it is not practical to have an individual in close proximity to you who is unpleasant to be around. And I'm not talking about something that the child is going to say or do. I'm simply saying that the very hygiene of this child, and that is the whether it's the smell or the actual cleanliness of the child is so extreme, the problem with it is extreme, they're very unpleasant to be with. So what we've done with our granddaughter, Elisa, and in the One Step, is that at least 2 days a week, they are not allowed to bathe, they're not allowed to shower. It sounds very extreme, but you have to listen, because it makes so much sense. And when I first brought this up to the people in our organization, they were very much in favor of it because no one had ever brought this up. But you, for 2 or 3 days a week, you don't allow the child to bathe, you don't allow the child to brush their teeth, nothing. And you also encourage them, because they're so young, to eat, and to eat to the point where they do gain some weight. Because, again, we want to make these children so unpleasant to look at and be around that a predator is going to move on. And
all right, tell you what, Charlie, hang on the line here. We're talking with Charlie DeFountain. Can you hold on?
I certainly can, Phil.
Charlie DeFountain talking with us about One Step. And one of the things that they feel is important is to make a child unpleasant to be around, which means no bath, no brushing the teeth, no cleanliness for about 2 or 3 days a week, so that no predator would want them in the car with them. 877-876-PHIL. Does this sound practical to you? 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Charlie DeFountain. We'll be right back here.
Truth.
Stick around.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
At philhendryshow.com.
famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and Charlie the Fountain is with us. We have as well, I believe Margaret Gray is also going to be joining us in a few minutes. We have David Hall in Temple City, California, and a couple of things happening out on the highways tonight that we have to let you in on. But Charlie, again, talking to us, now we have the restaurant. I want to get Charlie the Fountain up. Charlie, is that you?
Yes, Phil, right here.
So talking to us about One Step, where you, and we have some callers to comment on this, but you are discussing and have put into effect some sort of a process by which a child is made unappealing or is somehow repulsive?
Well, that's the logical thing to do, Phil, and that's what we've done. And I said this to the parents. I said, do you want to have a kid in your car that smells and that is fat and ugly and all of this? And of course, you don't want to make your child... Because you know that when your child finally gets to be of age, you're going to put them through a very strenuous training. You know, you're going to put them on a diet, put them through training. But you don't, as they're young, you don't want to make them ripe for the picking, is the way that I look at it. So that's what One Step is about.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let me go to a phone call here. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Charlie the Fountain.
Hey, Phil. Thanks again for letting me talk.
Yes, sir.
I'm an EMT, and I'm here with my brother-in-law, Phil Colt, and we're thinking that this is just an endangerment of health. Not to mention, I mean, they're young, but you're going to destroy...
What do you mean endangerment of health? The endangerment of health is to have the predator, get their hands on this young person. I would much rather have that child stink like the city dump than have that child get into a car with a predator. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, I agree. You make a lot of sense there, but you've got to be out of your mind to have your kids not brush their teeth. I mean, I discipline my kids if they don't brush their teeth.
And now, of course.
So what you're saying is you want kids to become fat, stinky, and have bad teeth and unhealthy, correct?
No, I don't want them to degenerate to the point of bad health, but I think that there is a time in their life, once they are past that stage where they are the prime target of a predator, where you put them on a diet, you put them into a rigorous training program, 6 weeks, low-carb, high-protein.
Wait a minute. You've got them eating all kinds of crap, and you've got them not brushing their teeth and all this stuff so that the predator won't go near them, but at some point they're going to have to go on a diet and go into some...
Well, of course you want them to be healthy, just as this gentleman is bringing up. But when they are ripe picking for a predator, you want them to smell and look as and be as unpleasant to be around as possible.
No. There's much better ways for your children to teach them ways to avoid these predators.
Well, but I understand, but.
In a Taekwondo class, and we teach them in Taekwondo, if a predator tries to remove them or approach them and take them, they are to drop to the ground and kick and scream as loud as they can. And I think that's a great way to avoid a predator. If a child knows, if somebody grabs them by the arm, to drop to the ground, use their dead weight to drop to the ground and kick and scream. As opposed to
unhealthy. First of all, you're asking a child. Children are very self-conscious. They would be very embarrassed to drop to the ground and kick and scream, especially a young boy, who would make fun of him.
They would be more embarrassed to be fat and stinky and a bad breath.
What I'm trying to say to you, sir, and I know that, you know, I can hear you laughing.
Well, it is a little humorous.
No, it is not humorous when we're saying the following thing. I want that predator not to come near my child. I want that predator to avoid my child. Now, I can tell you from my own experience, in our town, we had a guy who was well known to the residents. He was hanging around downtown in the commercial district. I saw this guy, and I waved to him, and I pointed to the car where my granddaughter was sitting, and I said, "You, move on." And when he knew that I was Charlie the Fountain had started the program, he knew that my granddaughter stunk to high heaven.
What? How do you know that?
Because I know it. And you can teach a kid to scream and yell like a little girl. I think you're going to find a lot of boys don't want to do that. I think they'd much rather smell like a, like the dump, like a corpse.
Well, come on, man. I mean, if you're talking, just as this gentleman said, he's an EMT. If you're talking about a kid smelling like the city dump, now you're getting into health issues. Now you're...
Why?
Because you are. Because you're getting into, as this man said, decay, tooth decay. God knows, we already got children get head lice, and they get all kinds of things. You cannot protect the child by endangering their health. Listen, Jerry, is that all? Did I interrupt you? I'm sorry.
Abuse. It's called child abuse.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You're trying to put a label on it. We're trying to avoid child abuse. We're trying to avoid child abuse.
The principle here is a predator, number one, they're whacked anyway. A predator, anybody who's going to go after a child is sick in the head already. They don't care if they stink or smell like a rose. It doesn't matter. They're nuts. But when a parent...
Are you kidding? Are you telling me even the craziest predator doesn't want to have something that smells like a big... fat cow turd.
Okay, listen.
Child into a big fat cow turd.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, Jerry, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, you know, Phil, people can laugh if they want to, but this is deadly serious business. And
I understand that it's deadly serious business, sir. But you're talking about turning a child into something that smells like a cow turd. At what point does that child get more serious problems smelling like that?
That being molested? You've got to be kidding. I hope your boss is listening.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. One step. Make your child unappealing to a predator. That's what his idea is. We'll be back with more of your phone call. Phil Henry Show.
Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Charlie the Fountain and more of your phone calls, 877-876-PHILS. We're talking to Charlie about One Step, which is a neighborhood program that was instituted by himself as well as others, whereby the kids are protected in a sort of a passive way, is what you're calling it, Charlie, because they're encouraged 3 days out of the week not to bathe, not to brush their teeth, and in point of fact, to overeat and do anything they can to make themselves not attractive to a predator. Now, are they doing this year-round?
Well, we'd like it to extend to year-round. Right now, we're negotiating with the school district. We do it during the summertime when the kids want to let themselves go anyway. But we're negotiating with the school district to enable the children to do it during the school hours. In point of fact, we had our own, what we called our own Days of Rage, which was a it was very much civil disobedience. But we had the kids show up for school on Monday, having spent the last 4 days without a bath, without brushing their teeth, nothing. And we had a confrontation at the school. There were kids there whose parents allowed them to bathe, and there was an issue. And
it was the comfort of the kids.
Well, it was the comfort. It was, they claimed that the smell was overpowering, and I made the point to the school district. I said it's supposed to be so that predators are not, seeking our children. So we compromised, and we're hopeful that in the coming spring semester, the kids will be allowed to at least a couple days, I think it was 2 or 3 days out of the month, that they'll be able to practice One Step and really get a good odor going, because this is the most important thing, Mr. Henry. It's a way to repel a predator when you got that odor, and it is a very distinct odor, one that I recall a older brother of mine who had been in the Marine Corps in World War II, and he had been in Tarawa, where the there was a great loss of life, and it was 1 degree above the equator, so that within 3 days, the smell of the Japanese dead was so overpowering and ripe, and he said He said, if that's what you want to smell. He says, if you can somehow find a way to smell, but he said, you want the kids to smell like that. And I said, oh, I never smelled it before.
You want the kids to smell like an island full of dead Japanese soldiers.
You find that funny, huh? The death of men?
No, I do not. I find it funny, bizarre, that you want children to smell like that. Let's take a phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Travis. Travis, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Charlie the Fountain. Go ahead, please.
All right, how you doing?
Very good, sir.
All right. Hey, man, that's really disgusting, man, not to have the kid's baby, man.
Could the caller speak up, please? Could you speak up, sir?
Oh, yeah, hold on. Let me, I said that's really disgusting. You got kids, not babies.
Right, but we don't want them to smell sweet like a flower so some filthy predator could come along and say, wow, this one smells good. You see what I'm saying? We want
not
them
really.
To be so...
No, because if the school's going along with it, the school needs to be shut down. That's saying out our diseases and stuff.
Well, what diseases are you talking about, sir? I mean, if a child...
I mean, you not bathing, man, on a daily basis. You supposed to at least take 2 baths a day. Do you bathe
every day? Do I bathe? I take showers. I try to only take 1 shower a week, though. And this is my own personal...
You 1 shower a week?
Yes, sir. But I'm retired. I'm retired.
That means there's something wrong with you, too, then.
No, sir. Now, I take a shower a week. I do do what we call when I was...
water.
Well, no, sir. I take what's called a sailor's shower where I wipe down.
Why are you not taking a daily shower?
For my own personal reasons. I think the water supply is hard water. I think it's very unhealthy. And
man,
I can tell you that
it's unhealthy not to bathe every day.
Well, I can
it's
tell
really
you this.
Unhealthy.
I can tell you this. Bathe
and brush your teeth every day. Use the
But sir, can I? Can I ask you a question? Are you suddenly my mother? Of course you're not. I will do what
I'm not your mother or your father, but you're supposed to be taught
right.
That when you was coming up to wash every day.
I can tell you this. That
I need to ask. I need to ask the caller, Travis, to turn his radio down. Travis, we can hear the radio in the background. Will you turn it down?
I can tell the gentleman this. I can
okay.
tell the gentleman now. See, he's going to be over there turning his radio down.
No, he's listening.
Oh, yeah,
all right. You walked over to turn your radio down, so you didn't hear. Didn't you walk over to turn your radio down?
You supposed to be taught to bathe every day. Your mother
I was.
And your father told you to bathe
I was.
Every day.
Yes, I
so
was taught
not,
that.
Why you not why you not doing what you're supposed to do with your kids then?
For political reasons. The children to protect the children. To protect them from predators. Who will not want to put them in the car if they smell like they don't wipe?
Well, how
and
about
that's,
kids then? Every day,
that's what,
every day in your community, one parent just go pick up all the kids on a couple of blocks where they located at, and that will work out.
What? Say that again.
Every day, each a different parent go pick up the kids from school. All y'all put in money together and just get, like, an excursion van or something. If you have to make 2 or 3 trips, oh, well. The kids will be safe that way.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I heard what he said. He said have the parents get a van and pick all the kids up that way.
Well, that doesn't protect the children when they're out at the mall, when they're out at the movies, when they're walking to a friend's house. There's a million different... What's wrong with the kid being repellent? And I'm just
so you
simply,
want the kids, everywhere they go, you want them to just stink. You want them to be funky wherever they go.
To be what? Funky?
Funky.
That's it? Yes. Look, you might as well know. We teach the kids at least once a week, don't wipe. And
that is unhealthy. Don't wipe.
Yes, we're trying to do everything. We're trying to save lives, Mr. Hendry. The lives
boy,
of our children.
You're killing lives that way, man. You ain't saving nothing.
Oh, whoever died from not wiping their rear end? Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on, man. At some point, people are going to... you know, at some point, the people, just regular people, are going to come to you and say, your kid stinks, man. You better put that child in a bathtub because this is not good.
Well, then I'll say to them, are you trying to kill my child?
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to lock you up in a nut house.
So that's
yeah,
it.
That's right.
So that, oh, you think I'm crazy too, is that it? So you two guys think.
But
go
what
ahead.
I'm saying,
you think I'm nuts.
What I'm saying is, though, if you don't get up, if you don't practice healthy hygiene with your kids, how are they going to practice it with their kids?
They know how to take a bath. I tell them, this is only so a predator doesn't want to stick you in the trunk of the car. I need for you not to wipe on these 2 days, and we mark the calendar.
What your grandkids must think you're goofy.
No, they do not.
Either that or they must have been raised. thank you very much for your caller, sir. That's Travis.
Was that man laughing?
Yes, he was laughing.
Well, I will tell you this. I think I have sunk to a new low.
Yeah, well, you certainly have.
No, not me. I've sunk to a new low. No, I'm visiting a new low. I haven't sunk to a new low. I'm visiting a low that you've sunk to. And that low that you've sunk to is you laugh at a man that is trying to keep his grandchild...
No, sir, I'm not. I wouldn't laugh at any man trying to keep his children or grandchildren safe. But the method that you're using, number one, I don't believe is going to be effective at all. I agree with that one caller who said that these people that are predators are so sick, they're so messed up, they don't care how the kid smells, they don't care how the kid's dressed. That's got nothing to do with it, man. They'll abduct your child or your grandchild just as fast as any other. And
so they want to put a kid in their car, sit next to that kid over God knows how many hundreds of miles while they take him to a cabin that they've got in the woods, while the kid smells like he wasn't born, he was dropped out of a cow's ass. God.
Will you watch your language, please? 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Henry Show. We have a traffic situation that we have to get to, and I want to talk to this gentleman on the line. Hang on the line there, Charlie. Is this... Well, hold on for a minute, because you still have that the restaurant on. Is this Austin?
Yes, sir.
Austin, how are you doing? What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. I wanted to report I've had a... an axle break on my truck here just about... I don't know, probably about 20 minutes ago, the axle broke on my truck as a result of me having a swerve. And I had some event take place in the cab of the truck. If you can hear me,
I can hear you fine.
There's a lady that was singing a song, and it caused a disorientation. And I jerked the wheel; it broke the axle. So I've got a semi down here, and I got a cab over. Got a jackknife my cab over out here.
Where are you?
I'm on the 5. I'm on the Interstate 5.
And you jackknifed your semi where?
Just approaching Lake Estee, what do you call it? Six Flags.
You're approaching Six Flags?
Yes, sir.
Magic Mountain up there?
Yes, sir.
Get Margaret on the line.
What's she going to do about it?
She's the one that caused it. Get her on the line.
I don't know if you're talking about... lady was singing... And I'd like the song to Heaven or Hell on a Ronnie Jane Dio. I've always enjoyed it. But when she started to sing, I went, God Almighty, help me, help me. That's the last I remember feeling. I was praying to God for help. And
what happened?
It was a high-piercing squealing. Oh, God. It was a squeal, all right.
Okay, Margaret Gray is joining us here from Santa Monica. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, what is it?
I'm sorry, but there's a gentleman here who had listened to you sing last half hour, and apparently it caused... Austin, you want to tell her?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Austin Amarka. I'm a truck driver up on Interstate 5 right now. I heard you singing Heaven and Hell, and when you hit the high note, I was disoriented, and I had to jerk the wheel, and... got disoriented, I jerked the wheel, and I stabbed the axle, and I had to jack down my truck. And I don't want to complain or anything, because I like that song, but what you've done to me...
Well, I don't understand. Are you saying that you somehow wrecked your truck because of my singing?
Yes, ma'am, because of the high pitch.
I have had a lot of people try to insult me. I can tell you, I've had a lot of men come on to me like I'm nothing more... than a $3 hooker. But I've never had anyone say to me that they jackknifed a truck near Lake Castaic on Interstate 5 Because of my singing. I think you're lying.
No, ma'am.
Hold on. I think you're lying. I think Phil Henry put you up to it.
I did not.
No, ma'am. I called a radio show just a few minutes ago.
I think Phil Henry put you up to it. And as the result of your lie, I'm going to sing the song again. And I would suggest you turn your radio down.
No, ma'am. Please don't. The radio is on, and I can't turn it off because the electrical got fried when I flipped it. I had to call my supervisor.
I don't care. I'm going to sing the song again. And I find it very, very untoward, Phil.
Well, wait a minute. You're not going to sing anything on my show because I won't let you.
Get David Hall.
All right. I'll do it right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she's going to call David Hall.
What if I put you on hold?
Tell David Hall he's going to put me.
You know, I can't believe you, Margaret. Here he is. David?
Yeah, look, just let her sing her song, will you, for God's sake? Just let her sing the song. I've been bothered and bothered and bothered by you. Are you there, ma'am?
David, I'm here, and I want to sing this song because the truck driver said that my singing actually caused him to flip his truck. And I won't stand for that. So I'm... go ahead, bud, and we can hit it right... Yeah, there you go.
All right. Can you hear the music, Phil?
Yeah, I can hear the music.
Please, please don't. No, please, ma'am, don't do it. Please don't do it.
Well, I wasn't going to do it until you called it and made an outrageous claim.
Ma'am, please don't. Ma'am, I can't. God, please don't.
No, you know, this is taking time out of my life.
Well, then don't sing it.
Shut up.
Oh, God, oh, God.
You're a doer of evil.
Oh, please help me. Help me. What is going on?
I don't know. La, la, la. How do you feel?
All right, let's take a break. 877-876, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with us from the Inland Empire is Charlie the Fountain as we continue to discuss with him the One Step, which is this program of not having your children or grandchildren bathe or wash or take care of their hygiene or even take care of their weight so that they are unappealing to predators. And again, Charlie, there's a lot of different ways we can talk about this, but I the practicality of it, I don't think you've addressed. That is a child that smells like that. And on top of everything else, folks, we've had Margaret Gray and a gentleman on the Interstate 5 up near Magic Mountain who jackknifed his truck this evening, and we'll get back on the line and talk to him if we have time. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Amy on the Phil Henry Show. Amy, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, Phil, for one, I totally respect you and your opinion about
Thank you.
It. I am a mother Thank of you. Five kids. That is totally irresponsible. That is not even adult thinking of telling your children not to bathe or brush their teeth or
Well, you understand, ma'am, that's not my opinion. That's not my opinion.
Oh,
Mr. LaFountain.
Your yeah. gentleman is calling in... You know, a grandfather.
Ma'am, I'm a grandfather, and in order for you to understand this, I think you need to realize that I only have the best interest of my granddaughter at heart, and
well,
I don't
you
want.
You do. Why don't
yes,
you teach your granddaughter, like the gentleman said about self-defense? You're
about
not
what?
Even making any sense about raising our children nowadays to be overweight.
Ma'am, I'm trying to come up with ideas to save our children. When you look at what's going on at this at the pen.
I am all for saving our children. I have a daughter who was molested by her uncle. So tell me, what do you do with your children who come across people who they trust and are supposed to love. What do you tell them?
If your daughter, stunk, then the uncle, if your daughter had smelled.
Are you even rational?
Are you trying to tell me that if your daughter smelled and I smelled really ripe, I mean she really stunk, you think that uncle would have gone near her? I don't think so.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. Apologize.
How is that not making sense when someone smells as if they were if they've been dead for a month?
Okay, you tell me. What about these women who are being attacked and raped? You're going to tell
them
if you would have been stinky and fat, you would have I've heard of 90-year-old women who have been raped and attacked. So you
But for 90, they probably looked good. For 90, they probably looked pretty good.
Oh, come on.
You are not even making sense, dude. Did your mom drop you on your head too many damn times when you were little?
You mentioned a 90-year-old woman being attacked. I haven't seen a photograph of her. Maybe she was.
Our children are battling today with overweight and obesity, and you're encouraging them to be?
Are you trying to tell me? Wait a second. I want to be clear on this. Are you trying to tell me you'd rather your kid cut a dashing figure and get molested or stink like an open grave and be safe?
Oh, that's not the choice.
Let's talk about this.
God.
So,
that's what you'd rather have.
Let's not bathe. Let's not brush our teeth. Let our teeth rot out of our mouth. And then when you get a certain age, let's force you to take that weight off and be beautiful and everything. It's people like you that are giving our children bad ideas about their own images. Now you're thrown in there about pedophiles and jackasses like
You are
children,
trying.
And now you're bringing in our whole image thing?
Ma'am, I am I'm simply trying to make our children safe. Let's take you for instance. You're a mother. You're a young lady. You sound like a young lady. I'm sure you're very attractive. You're out by yourself. And maybe your husband's too stupid to give you a cell phone. I don't know. I don't want to comment. But if you smelled bad, and never mind. You're
not even, because
I'm not even one.
Instead of teaching our children,
if
to
you stunk,
show a buddy
you
system,
wouldn't have
arming our children with the knowledge.
Right, arming kids with knowledge is a very good point. We got to take a break. We have to take a break, Amy, but you made some really good points. And
I don't think she made good points. I'm talking about
Phil Hendry.
Very unfair.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hold on. World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're very grateful to have you with us each and every night. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. For those of you viewing us on Phil TV and HD, welcome. And that is a picture of Jay Robinson as Caligula that is behind me. You can see this guy. That's a great actor named Jay Robinson who played Caligula in a movie called The Robe. And he never got real credit for what he did. And that cat is solid, man. I mean, I can't even tell you. He took the whole movie over. He stole the movie from Richard Burton. He stole the movie from whoever the hell else was in the movie.
What are you talking about?
This guy that played this mad Roman emperor, Jay Robinson. And I'm telling you, I saw the movie when I was a kid. And I said, who is that guy? You got to see the flick. But every single actor that was in that movie, and there were some big, big names in it, when that guy was on screen, he just took the whole movie over. Beautiful. So our way of paying tribute to him is a little slide of him here on our green screen tonight. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We're also, as you know, on philhendryshow.com. Go over and get a backstage pass. You can join us on our Phil TV and HD. You can listen to thousands of hours. And I mean, when I say thousands of hours of archive material, I ain't just whistling Dixie, man.
But they don't know what that means, Whistle Dixie.
Yeah, it would go like, wish I wasn't Dixie.
Right.
What does that mean?
It's just a saying. It's just a saying, bud. Take it easy. So you can get thousands of hours of archive material. You can also get our daily podcast. You can take part in our comment section if you want. Call me a douchebag. Sing my praises. Whatever you want to do. It's at philhenryshow.com. And become a Backstage Pass listener. And you are a part of our family. Very, very tight-knit family. Very, very tight-knit group. And who knows, man? Very, very soon, I think we're going to have some kind of a celebration of our Backstage Pass holders, some intimate party for thousands, barbecue, booze, who knows, the cops. It'll be great. Sandusky accuser would testify of severe sexual assault, according to lawyer. Are you sick of this story? You shouldn't be. It's important, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's important, but it ain't all that entertaining.
It ain't all that entertaining. So that's what you're thinking, huh? It's got to be entertaining. Is that it?
Yeah, we want to be all laughing about it and everything.
I'm just saying, man, what we do for a living is entertain. Okay? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you come along every day here, Sandusky this, Sandusky that. And someone like mine, but you know, Mavis, my aunt, she said, Mr. Henry talking about Sandusky again. She was all upset about it. She said, no, he's talking about Sandusky, Ohio. I had a lie. I had a lie to my own aunt. So hold on. So I'm saying, got to be something different, man.
You told your aunt we're talking about Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah. Because she's all, Mr. Henry, he's on and on and on about Sandusky. That's all I'm saying. I just want to say it.
Well, you said it, man. And guess what? We're still going to talk about it. It's in the news. It's important. It's interesting. And to be perfectly honest with you, and I shouldn't say this, it's the only interesting thing there is in the news right now. There's a Pennsylvania lawyer representing one of eight boys alleged to be victims in the Penn State sexual child abuse case. See, the reason why this is so compelling, especially to a football fan, is because my whole life, Joe Paterno has been head coach at Penn State since I was in eighth grade. Since I was a 13-year-old boy, he was the head football coach. So all through my high school years, all through the 70s when I was in my 20s, all through the 80s when I was in my 30s, all through the 90s when I was in my 40s, all through this past decade.
When you're in your 70s.
When I'm in my, will you shut up, in my 50s. It's been Paterno my whole, practically my entire life. When I first had sex with a young lady, Paterno was the head coach at Penn State.
When you got caught by your mom.
Will you shut up. When I took my first sip of wine, Paterno, it was a very good year. 17-year-old girls, you know how it goes. Anyway, so Paterno's been there through it all. Through the bigs, through the littles, through the highs, through the lows. For a lot of us. For some of you, Paterno's been head coach there longer than you've been alive. He's been a part of, if you're a football fan, he's been a part of the football landscape. Even if you're not much of a college fan, and I'm not. Man, if it ain't Joe Paterno, it's, you know, every bloody year, Joe Paterno, Joe Paterno, Joe Paterno, Joe. And I remember in recent years, they're making fun of the fact that he's too old, and this guy's this, and this guy's that. Now he's 8-1. The cat, challenging for the Big Ten championship. I mean, this guy remains a very vital, or has, or did remain a very vital head coach. He's done now. He's never going to coach again. I mean, somebody may hire him. For the remaining years of his life. I don't know. But it's just a damn shame. And I think, and I've said it before, I think what's going on here is a guy that's 84 years old, like my old man, if he were still alive, he'd be 96. Okay, but I think they're kind of the same generation, Paterno and my father, with the early part of the 20th century. And you got to understand something. It may piss you off, and some people may think I'm making apologies. I'm not. I'm trying to understand it. That's all. And I think this guy came up during a period of American and world history where people from that generation, man, they didn't talk about this stuff. This was something, no way, you know.
Well, what'd they do about it?
I think they did like what Paterno probably felt he was doing, which is, okay, what happened? Well, he was molesting. All right, did you tell? Yeah, okay, then I don't want to know. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to hear about it. And it's a problem that he's got.
And I think Sandusky said in this interview, and he saw Paterno last summer. And so Paterno probably didn't say anything to him. Probably just, you know, it's, I don't want to say anything. I'm just, yeah, this problem. I'm sure he's getting it taken care of. And I just, you know, I don't want to know. Because it's just really weird, very creepy. Just they, I'm telling you, man. You bring that up to somebody their age. Hey, what do you think about child? Oh, you know, oh, God. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some very hipper, older people will say, well, you know, it happened to me. I got to tell you something, man. In my family, there is belief now. Because I was back in Canada, and I was talking to my cousins, and we discussed this, and we believe now that both of our mothers, meaning my aunt, their mother, and their aunt, my mother, I said their aunt and my aunt, I'm using the American pronunciation of aunt, and they're the Canadian's aunt. So anyway, that both of those girls, my mom and my aunt, were molested. We firmly convinced of this. And we even know, in fact, one of my cousins said, we think it took place at a boarding house that my grandmother operated. So you can imagine, these are two little girls who are living with them, not my grandmother, their grandmother, be my great-grandmother. These two little girls are living there with their mother and their grandmother. And this was a very common business to have in those days, folks, a boarding house. If you had a big house and you needed money, you took in boarders, took people in. Now, there's your room. And the meals are served at 6. If you're down here, great. If you're not, drop dead. We don't care. And the room costs you 5 cents. I don't know what the hell they charge. This is how people made money. And they believe, and I believe it too, that both of these girls, my aunt and my mother, were molested. My mother was very depressed throughout her life. My mother really battled against it, and she did a good job. But then I asked my cousins, I said, well, what about, you know... They said, yeah, we think that she was pretty depressed, too. I mean, I, you know, it's really funny, man, because I always remembered my aunt as being much more, I don't know what you say, she was much, much more lively than my mother. But they felt that she that this took place. And so, look, is there a family anywhere where if you don't pry the floorboards up far enough, and if you go into the back of the closet far enough, and if you dig a few holes in the backyard, is there a family anywhere where you're not going to find some really ghoulish stuff? You know,
what about your aunt? Is she going for help?
Going for help? She's not around anymore.
She's really old, man.
We're talking about a couple of women that were born at the turn of the century. Okay.
Oh.
I mean, my mother was born in 1913. My aunt was born probably a couple years later, 1915, 1916. And they were little girls at a time in Toronto, Canada, which was pretty much like any back Eastern American city. And they, you know, and there were boarding houses. God, I can't even imagine what kind of time it was. Can you imagine being time travel back to that time?
I think that'd be great, man.
Not you. You're black. They wouldn't let you in to even take a... You wouldn't even be able to go to a bathroom in a pan.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a good point, bud.
But wait a minute, be in Canada. They let black people there.
Yeah, they say they let black people do stuff there. If you go to Canada, they probably just make you clean out the spittoons and stuff.
What's that?
Spittoons where you spit.
They had spittoons. You never heard of a spittoon?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the big, ugly, frightening, grotesque... jars that would sit on the floor, these large things that would sit on the floor in saloons and barbershops where guys would spit their tobacco juice because guys used to chew a lot of tobacco, you know.
Man.
They wouldn't let no black guy in.
No, I'm dead in Canada they would.
No.
Probably in Canada they would have a problem with you, but not as much as in the States. Anyway, what the hell are you guys talking about?
Want to find out? You're going to let Robert into some saloon in Canada... If you go down the Underground Railroad, maybe.
Yeah, that's another thing, going on the Underground Railroad.
What do you mean, the Underground Railroad? Man, we're talking about the 20th century here, okay? But nonetheless, I wouldn't want to go back to those days. I wouldn't want to get... I mean, I would just for a sort of academic, you know... I mean, it would be fascinating, but to actually live then, knowing what you know now, to live back then, you'd go insane, man. You'd probably wind up getting your ass kicked.
Why?
I mean, if you go back, and I'm going to say you, anybody from this era, if we got transported back to the 20s, we'd probably wind up getting our ass kicked because we'd be shocked and offended by everything. Wait a minute, what are you doing with that cat?
Wait a minute. How did you talk to that woman? You just talked to that black guy that way. You just talked to that Jewish person that way. How can you be talking to that, you know? And you're smoking and I'm trying to have a meal. I mean, dude, every single solitary thing they did, you'd probably be complaining until somebody finally said, okay, that's it. That's it. I've been listening to you. But you don't understand. I come from the 21st century. Sure you do. Sure you do. You come from the 21st century, and I live on one of the rings of Saturn. Bam!
Yeah, I can see how that happened.
You better believe it had happened. You just thank your lucky stars you're living now, man. It'd be too weird back then. All right, we'll be coming back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Other news. Storms sweep areas southeast, damaging homes and businesses. Goodness gracious. We'll talk a little bit about that. And the White House shooting suspect has been arrested. Did you hear about this? Some guy was taking shots at the White House, but they got a hold of this slob. And we'll talk about that. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our usual number, and we're in our news and information hour right now with Robert and with Bud, and this story here that we did not cover earlier in the show because, quite frankly, it's a hard news kind of a story that doesn't lend itself much to discussion, you know.
What are you talking about the president?
I understand it's about the safety of the president. If there's nothing to talk about, trust me, there's nothing to talk about. You're going to get on the air and you're going to complain, well, how did this guy get close to the White House? A lot of hot air. This is what I call a hot air topic. There's only one decision. You take this guy, you kick his ass, and you throw him in a cage, and that's the end of that. And, you know, and he had a gun, and now, you know, he'll never have a gun again. White House shooting. Oscar Ortega Hernandez, arrested for allegedly shooting at a window in the executive mansion of the White House, is believed to have had an obsession with President Obama.
Mr. Ortega Hernandez was apprehended at the Hampton Inn in White Township approximately 12:20 this afternoon. Personnel at the Hampton Inn in White Township contacted the state police and reported that Mr. Ortega Hernandez was in their lobby. State police personnel responded to the Hampton Inn and took Mr. Hernandez into custody without incident. He was taken into custody on the basis of a United States Park Police warrant that was issued on November 13th, 2011 in the Criminal Division, Superior Court of the District of Columbia, based on a shooting that occurred at the White House on November 11th, 2011. The subject, Mr. Ortega Hernandez, did not resist. It's my understanding he did not make any comments other than he wanted to know why he was being taken into custody. He did not have any identification with him. You know, he provided a name which matched the information that we had of who the officials were looking for. He was brought back here to the barracks, and he was fingerprinted on the live scan machine to conclusively identify him and to match any existing warrants that were out there for him. And there was a match. We did get a match on that. So that's a reason that he was detained. Once he was brought in
here. All right,
here,
so you guys got that. That's Brad Shields, Pennsylvania State Police. They grabbed him, they cuffed him, and that's the end of that, man. It sounds to me like the guy's bent, you know, a little whack, you know.
You think the guy, like, insane?
I don't know, man. He's some homeless jackball. He doesn't have ID. He doesn't know why he's being taken into... I mean, obviously, he wasn't trying to elude very heavily anybody. He had a high-powered rifle, or some kind of a rifle. According to the police, you just heard what he said. He didn't resist or arrest. His first court appearance is scheduled to be tomorrow afternoon, or today, this afternoon, Thursday afternoon in Pittsburgh. He was reported missing by his family on October the 31st. He was reported missing on October the 31st. So this is a guy that I think might have some issues, man.
Yeah, like he's crazy.
Okay, crazy, you know. On Friday morning, he was stopped by police in the Washington suburb of Arlington, Virginia, while investigating a report of a suspicious person.
Police took photos of him, but didn't have any reason to arrest him. A message left for Ortega's mother Wednesday at an Idaho Falls restaurant where she works was not returned. Phone listings for family members in Idaho were disconnected. Ortega has an arrest record in three states, but has not been linked to any radical organizations, according to the U.S. Park Police. Police searched, and that's the U.S. Park Police. They are in charge of that area, the White House, because it's national park, and people go, tourists, jazz like that, you know.
But they got, what do you mean? Are they like park rangers?
Well, look, bud, park rangers, I don't know. They got guns, and they got badges, and they can shoot you, and they can arrest you. How's that? Police searched the occupied D.C. encampment on Monday after callers said they'd seen a man matching Ortega's description, but the search turned up nothing, and he might not have been there. It might have just been some people who thought they saw him. Witnesses on Friday reported hearing shots and seeing two speeding vehicles on Constitution Avenue near the White House. Authorities said they found an abandoned car with the assault rifle inside near the Theodore Roosevelt Bridge, which crosses the Potomac River to Virginia. The bullet that hit the White House window was stopped by ballistic glass, bulletproof glass that they have there. The Secret Service didn't disclose the location of the second bullet, saying only that it was found on the exterior of the White House. Obama and the First Lady had traveled with their daughters on Friday to San Diego en route to Hawaii for a summit prior to flying to Australia. The White House had no immediate comment on the shooting or on who might have been home at the time. On Wednesday, officials took photographs of a window on the executive bench in the south face. The window is in front of the so-called Yellow Oval Room, according to the White House website. So, other than the fact that the guy is, his mother works in Idaho, and that he was reported missing by his family, sounds to me like he's a little cuckoo. And that's, you know, in America, these guys are generally kind of whacked out, aren't they?
Well, that John Hinckley was.
Yeah, and another guy, that the guy that shot John Lennon probably, Mark, or forget his name, but...
Mark David Chapman.
What?
Mark David Chapman, the guy that shot John Lennon.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are cuckoo. Colgosh, is that guy, the guy that shot, No. The guy that shot President Garfield, Guiteau, he was nuts. He was nuttier than a fruitcake, that guy. He was whacked out. He went to Washington because he thought that Garfield had told him he had a job in the cabinet. And he shows up, and I'm all ready for my job. And I'm like, who the hell are you? Get out. And he's you know, like, how dare you? And he sees Garfield one day at the train station and shoots him. The thing that killed Garfield wasn't the bullet. It was the lousy doctors that he had. Anyway... In 2010, there were a series of pre-dawn shootings at military buildings in the Washington area, including the Pentagon. In the last shooting at the White House in October of 1994, a Colorado man sprayed the mansion with at least 27 semi-automatic rifle bullets from Pennsylvania Avenue in an attempt to assassinate then-President Bill Clinton, who was home at the time. Bystanders subdued the suspect, and no one was injured. Francisco Martin Duran was convicted, sentenced to 40 years in prison for that shooting. The next year, Pennsylvania Avenue was closed to traffic to bolster security. That's when they did it. That's when they did it. I remember when you used to be able to walk in front of the White House and drive in front of the White House, I mean, in your car, and they closed it down and turned it into a security area. Wow. So there it is, and I guess that this guy is, you know, it sounds to me like he's got something loose in his brains. We'll find out. World famous Phil Henry Show coming back with more news on those storms and possibly another visit from Margaret in Austin America to find out about his truck that he flipped on I-5 when he heard her singing. Apparently the high-pitched whining disoriented him.
Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. What, bud?
What is this, man? It's black and white.
Hold on, man. I suddenly got this wild hair. I was talking to you guys about this guy trying to shoot at the White House. Actually did shoot at the White House, but thank God didn't hit anybody. And for whatever reason, I remembered this old Frank Sinatra movie called Suddenly.
Why do you call it that?
Because that's the name of the town. But anyway... It's a great movie because it's Sinatra playing, you know, against type. He's not playing cool. He's not playing Ocean's 11. He's not playing he's playing like in From Here to Eternity, he's playing against his type. He plays in a potential assassin. He's been hired to kill the President of the United States. And he is just, he's crazy. Now, I got a little bit of this film. Sterling Hayden's in it, who plays the town sheriff. Let me see if we got...
To assassinate a fictional U.S. president from a window with a long-range bolt-action rifle.
I can do it, and I'm going to do it.
But you're an American citizen.
Sure. And 1 minute after five, I'm going to be a very rich American citizen.
Suddenly...
So, that's Sinatra. 1 minute after five, I'm going to be a very rich American citizen. So that's the flick called Suddenly. Is there anything else here?
I'm looking at this one here, man. Well, they ain't got some guy talking.
Yo, this is a lot of work.
Do it, Benny.
But, Johnny, I don't see what we...
Just do it, Benny.
Benny.
Once you get the gun anchored, you got a solid base. You'll see when we get to it. This gun's got a heavy recoil. It won't stand still. And we got just 3 seconds to nail the president.
There you go. Have you heard of that movie?
Man, I ain't never heard of that one. I bought Frank Sinatra to do stuff like that.
What's wrong with that?
Gonna kill a president? I mean, I know he's an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor, man. Not really gonna kill a president.
Kill a president?
Robert, don't get all tied up in a guy's image, okay? You know?
Yeah, but he was friends with Kennedy.
Okay, so he was friends with Kennedy. Frank Sinatra was an actor, too. You understand that? So he's playing a character. He's playing a guy that's going to kill the President of the United States. This movie's from 1954, dude. This is long before Kennedy got killed. This is like 9 years before Kennedy got killed. So, like, Sinatra was, you know, he just came out of From Here to Eternity. He's really doing it, you know. He's taking these really heavy character parts. And this thing was great, man. You should have seen this flick. He was nuts.
Did he kill a president?
No, he didn't kill the president. Yeah, that'd be great. Let's walk out of the movie theater. The bad guy wins. What do you think? No. But I ain't going to tell you what happens.
Well, you tell us he didn't kill a president.
I know he didn't, but there's other stuff that goes on. Anyway, see it if you get a chance. If you see it on Netflix or something, check it out. It's pretty good. It's called Suddenly. All right, storms sweeping across the southeast. A storm system that produced several possible tornadoes hit the southeast on Wednesday, damaging dozens of homes and buildings. At least 4 people were killed and dozens more were injured. Suspected tornadoes were reported in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina. Thousands of people were without power as trees and power lines were downed. In South Carolina, 3 people were killed and 5 injured when a likely tornado swept through a rural community near Rock Hill in eastern Alabama. Suspected twister splintered trees. This has been the worst bout of weather for the states since about 250 people were killed during the tornado outbreak in April, which was just brutal last spring. Both campuses were spared. Auburn University was near this twister, near this spate of storm activity, and then the University of Alabama as well. But both campuses were spared major damage. In Rock Hill, one of the residents told a local newspaper she was sitting on her back porch when she saw the tornado touch down and then quickly move back up. She said after the storm passed, she noticed a nearby trailer had simply vanished. She said everything was gone, even the cows in the pasture.
Where'd they go?
They got picked up by the twister, man.
Man.
That's right.
You ever see that movie Twister?
Yeah, I saw that. That movie was based on storm chasers, you know that.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, that they don't really do that.
I don't know what storm chasers do. I know the very article, though, that inspired that movie. It was in Details magazine, and it was in the early 90s. I read the whole article. It was fascinating because I'd never heard of storm chasers before. I didn't know what these guys did. I didn't even know they existed. And Details magazine had this article on these storm chasers. And maybe the article came out because this film Twister was coming. I seem to think or seem to remember that the film was sort of inspired by all of these things that were happening. But they had this article. These guys sound like they're goofy. And the movie Twister made them seem like they were a bunch of surf dudes. Only it wasn't the surf. It was like surfing a house, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, they were all like, yeah, man, it's pretty chill. You know, let's go look at a tornado or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't so much, I shouldn't call them, you know, they're not a bunch of, you know, sun-baked idiots. These cats are basically aspiring scientists most of them, I think, students in the meteorological departments at, say, University of Oklahoma, places like that. But they're in these vans, and I don't know what inspired this, and maybe it's something we ought to look into, but they would just chase these tornadoes. They're clocking wind speed, all kinds of experiments. But the movie was dopey. They had cows flying through the air.
That was the best part of the movie. What are you talking about?
Well, they may have been the best part of the movie, but I don't know if... I'm sure cows have flown through the air. Anyway, this lady went out back. She went out back after the storm passed. She said everything was gone. Even the cows were gone. The guy's trailer was gone. Everything was gone. There's only one thing that happens there, bud. The tornado picked up the cows, picked up the trailer, picked everything up, and now the cows and the trailer are someplace else.
They go look for it.
Bud, they ain't even going to be in one piece, man. As Weather Service experts fanned out to assess damage, Auburn graduate student Stacy DeGreer didn't have any doubts about what sent a pair of trees crashing through her mobile home at Ridgewood Village. It's tornado damage. I'm from Kansas. I know tornado damage, she said. It's kind of hit or miss. There'll be two or three trailers that are bad, then a few that are okay, and then some that aren't even there. Trees fell on homes in southeastern Mississippi, where Jones County Emergency Director Don McKinnon said some people were briefly trapped. So it's the usual, you know, it's that badass storm stuff, man. It's always happening, you know. And I'm very, very grateful that I did not grow. And I have to tell you this, and I mean this sincerely. I mean this sincerely. People will think I'm kidding, but this shows you how crazy I am, and it shows you what a chicken I am. That I would rather live in earthquake country than in tornado country.
Yeah, probably me too, because I don't want to see it.
What do you mean?
Well, you can see a tornado coming, and I think they're... I don't want to know about it or anything.
Oh, man, you're going to start to cry again, man?
You going to cry, bud?
No! You see a tornado.
They do look pretty scary, you got to admit.
I don't know.
Are you serious? You look at a tornado on the horizon, this big black... You know?
Yeah, it's kind of like watching you walk in a room.
Well, you love...
Come here!
Hey!
Jesus. Say that again, man. I'll kick your ass.
Hey! They're pretty formidable, looking at a big tornado on the horizon, looking at those damn things. They are very, very frightening. And I agree with Bud, because living here in California, I've heard people say, oh my God, I wouldn't live out there with I'd much rather live with earthquakes. Way more. I know it sounds crazy, but think about it. Let's think about this for a second. Tornadoes, from what we obviously have understood of tornado damage, what we've seen, what we've heard the news report, tornadoes really tear ass through cities and towns and communities. Man, they wreck everything in their path, and as you can see, there were fatalities. And this is almost a regular feature of a tornado. Earthquakes can most often not even approach the damage level of a tornado.
Yeah, but man, when they do, are you kidding me? What about in Oakland, the freeway falling?
Okay, all right, I'll give you the freeway in Oakland. I'll give you all the stuff that happened up in San Francisco during the quake there, and I'll give you the bad Northridge quake. But most of the earthquakes that hit are those. I heard there was a quake that rolled through here yesterday. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I didn't even hear nobody say nothing about it.
There was a quake that rolled right through the El Pacifico early yesterday morning. As God is my witness, I even tweeted it. You can look up my timeline. I said, earthquake just hit. And it was an earthquake. Don't worry about it because I know what they feel like. And there was an aftershock. And that was it. No damage, no nothing. Now, it probably was out in the Pacific, the epicenter. I don't know where the hell it was. But that was an earthquake. We have many of those every year. We have several in a month sometimes. And they don't come anywhere close to doing what a tornado can do. Now, you're right. When we get a really bad one, like the Northridge quake, like what happened in San Francisco, when the Nimitz Expressway collapsed, you know, it's bad, man. It's real bad.
Yeah, but bitch, if a tornado come through a city, it'd probably do the same.
I don't know, man.
No, are you kidding me, man? They ain't going to make a freeway collapse.
Why not?
Because of wind, man. Oh, that's what people hide from tornado.
That's true. That's where people get away from tornadoes. They go under freeways. They go under the freeway overpasses. So so the tornado itself is cutting right across the roadway, right across the bridge, and doesn't do any damage. So earthquakes are much different. An earthquake will undermine the foundation of a building, of a freeway. Oh yeah, you know. But
yeah, but like you said, man, it's not anywhere as bad as.
It's not, you know, for the number of earthquakes that we have in California, they don't do the damage that a tornado will do. But I don't even think of it that way. I think of it more in a very organic thing. Man, when I see tornadoes look like the devil. That when you look at a tornado on TV, it looks like hell. It just looks like the devil, man. I mean, the worst thing you could think of just is coming to get you. Big, black funnel cloud, man, sucking everything up, and it's huge. And it's just, you know, and you think, it's like a dream, you know, those dreams you have where you're trying to run away from something, you can't go fast enough. That's how I think trying to get away from a tornado might feel. Just like no matter where I go, it's following me, you know.
You can get in your car and go faster than a tornado. Are you crazy or something?
Yeah, but you don't know which way it's going, man.
Oh, I'm sure you're right. I'm going to get in a car and just go, you know, but I don't know. Just tornadoes and then the other thing, my brother was in the Navy and he told me he saw. And I said, God, man, that'd scare me to death. He saw a water spout.
What's that?
A water spout is like a tornado on the ocean. The water is getting sucked up into the sky. You ready for that?
Are you crazy, man?
No, I'm not crazy. It's like a tornado on the ocean, and the water's getting sucked up in the air. And they saw this. I said, dude, if I saw that, that'd scare the hell out of me. I mean, there's not a whole lot of things. I got no problem. This is crazy about me. I got no problem, and I'm not saying that I'm nuts, but I don't have a problem with fire. In other words, in my life, there have been situations where fire was a threat, and I've been able to deal with it very well. Where I've seen other people stand there kind of paralyzed, I've been able to just walk, do whatever. Okay, I'm not saying it's just I don't have a problem with fire. I don't know why, but I don't. But I'm going to tell you right now, man, tornadoes, that kind of looking at stuff like that, water spouts, heights. I got phobias about certain things. Man, just kill me now. I didn't want to face the stuff, you know.
Did you chicken out on a tornado if it's coming to you?
Would I chicken out on a tornado? What did you say?
Yeah, man, why don't you speak English, man?
I am speaking English. Would you chicken out on a tornado?
What does that mean, bud? Would I chicken out on a tornado? Would I run?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I would. I would.
Yeah, you go all chicken.
What are you going to do, man? Are you going to stand there and stop it with your body?
Yeah, you probably do.
No.
You were just telling me that you're afraid of them. In fact, you were almost crying.
No.
Yeah, yes, you were. All right, well, that was really intelligent. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back, folks, with more news. Enough about the tornadoes and whether Bud's afraid of them or not. Bloomberg's bum rush backfires, ? Well, let's find out about Occupy Your Mama when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, that's a story I heard the other day. They turned themselves into Japanese lanterns.
Heard what?
Bet the Buddhist monks.
Yeah, the Buddhist monks are at it again, man. They're going all Japanese lantern.
What do you mean the Buddhist monks are going all Japanese lantern?
Turn themselves into a neighborhood tiki torch. Seen it the other day on the news.
You mean they're lighting themselves on fire?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you say that, bud? The Buddhist monks are going Japanese lantern. Why?
On account of Tibet.
Oh, they're lighting themselves on fire. Oh, God almighty. They did that. There's something about the Asian Buddhist monk, and I don't mean the Asian Buddhist monk as in China, Japan. It's mostly Southeast Asia or Southern Asia, where the Buddhist monk's very politically motivated and would self-immolate, would light themselves on fire. Remember, they did that during Vietnam to protest the dictatorship of the South Vietnamese government. These Buddhist monks would just sit there in a meditation, you know.
No, they ain't jumping around or hopping around. That'd be worth it. I mean,
what are you going to say, man? It'd be worth it to see it? God, you're sick.
Well, I mean, if you're going to look at it.
No, they don't go hopping around, bud. No, they don't. These cats, you got to understand something. These cats are totally into, like, the meditation concentration thing. And they're making this very heavy statement. It's a political statement against the oppression of the government. And they sit there in this meditation and they light themselves on fire, man. And they stay sitting there. They don't move. They do not move. They just sit there and they're burning, man.
Man.
Yeah. Do they go hopping around? You know, you ought to quit with all the jokes, okay?
You're making a joke.
No, I'm not making a joke. Buddhist monks went Japanese lantern.
Yeah, all the tiki torch, too.
Well, I was just trying to say, you said you couldn't remember.
I don't remember. It was in the news a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember. All right, here are more. Here's some more dialogue from the movie Suddenly, starring Frank Sinatra as a potential assassin of the United States president. This is a beautiful flick. Sinatra plays a real oily, creepy dude. Let's listen.
And I don't want the table to shimmy when we get to it.
Oh, Tommy gun would do just as good.
Tommy gun stinks. No accuracy, no punch. Might as well use a revolver. You're wrong about me, Pidge, being a coward. Last war, I got a Silver Star.
This is quite a gun, Benny. Quite a gun. I did a lot of chopping in the war with a baby like this. A lot of chopping.
You're wrong about me, Pidge, being a coward. Last war, I got a Silver Star. North the casino, pocket of resistance. I killed 27 men all by myself.
Oh, God.
Who's that, man? It's Sinatra?
That's Frank Sinatra. And the movie's called Suddenly. And it's a great movie. And he plays, as I said, he plays one of three guys that are paid to assassinate the president of the United States. And they're waiting for his train to show up. The president's coming through in a train. And they have taken over this house that is owned by, I don't know, Sterling Hayden's girlfriend or something. He's the good guy. And it's kind of reminiscent of Key Largo, you know, where Edward G. Robinson takes over the house and they holds everybody hostage. It's the same kind of thing. Only Sinatra is there, and, you know, they're setting up this high-powered rifle. They're going to kill him. So
I did a lot of chopping with a baby like this. A lot of chopping.
I got to get that.
You get it on Netflix or something. All right. Finally, Occupy Wall Street was getting as tired as Charlie Sheen's jokes about winning. Now, this is an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal. I don't know what's wrong with these people in the Wall Street Journal. Generally, because they are the Wall Street Journal. They're a cut above in terms of their reportage, although this may just be an opinion piece and nothing more. The media were moving on. Questions about the protests were absent from recent Republican debates. Sympathetic neighbors had become frustrated. The police were tired. No amount of overtime was worth the hassle. Most disturbingly, assaults had turned a peaceful gathering into just another bad neighborhood. Then New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg played right into the Occupy Wall Street movement's hands. He gave them a common enemy. Mr. Bloomberg's post-midnight raid on the camp at Zuccotti Park swept the protesters from their spiritual home, but it has re-energized the movement, too. I met Occupy Wall Street in the morning hours following the raid at Foley Square and then Duarte Park. I followed the group back to Zuccotti just 8 hours after the eviction, blah, blah, blah. I don't have a whole lot of time to rip this guy a new ass, but let me just say this. What's your name? Wiedner? Wiedner, let me explain something to you. You ought to know this. You live in New York. I don't, but I can explain this better than you possibly can see it. The guy's the mayor of the city. He's got to do something. It's not about him playing it cool and, hey, baby, you're playing right into their hands. It's not about him being popular with a certain mindset. It's not about him using the tactics that you have come up with sitting around your kitchen table at night. It's not about him, just sort of playing this sort of passive-aggressive game. He's the mayor of the city. He's got to do something. People are breaking the law. Sanitation. They have found, you know what they found? Did you see Dr. Dahlia today?
What?
She said they found in needles. They're finding all kinds of stuff. So whether or not you think it was the right groovy move to make, he's the mayor. He's got no choice, okay? All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by myself, Phil Henry, Dan Northcraft, and Fred Scotty. And our website, philhenryshow.com, is at your service. Get a backstage pass and join us every night with our live-streaming video. Listen to our podcast every day. And, of course, enjoy thousands of hours of archived great, great radio shows from the Phil Henry Show. Until tonight, good evening.
This show is broadcasted at El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.